Great. Well, it's almost 9 o'clock, so let's get started. My name's Alistair Spears, for those that didn't attend our session yesterday. Good to see people show up again at a 9 a.m. session on a Thursday. But today we'll be talking about Office 365 Pro Plus deployment. I'm here with my colleague, Jeff Medford.
Hi, I'm a technical product manager with the Office team out of Corp with Alistair, and we'll be doing a bunch of demos today.
Yeah. Great. So Office 365 Pro Plus is the name that we call the Office client that comes with Office 365. This is kind of it's probably the least understood part of Office 365. There's a lot of confusion between what is the cloud, what is the web. Really, Office 365 Pro Plus is actually a series of Office client apps that live on your device, connected to the cloud, installed from the cloud, and activated over the cloud as well. So to think of this, you know, Office 365 Pro Plus is a very different approach to the traditional Office software. You know, it used to be that you'd buy Office for every PC or something like that. With Office 365 Pro Plus, the model is that you just buy for users. You know, we're getting into this phase now where users have more devices, or companies have more devices than they do users, so why would you want to have to pay for every single device when you could just count users? It's easier to count heads than it is to count PCs. And so Office 365 Pro Plus is really designed to allow you to service all of those PCs, regardless of whether they're managed desktop deployment, using something like System Center, whether it's bring your own device from home, whether it's a Mac, whether it's an iPad, an Android device, an iPhone, or anything like that. We want to make sure that with Office 365, you can manage and provision Office experiences to all those devices as well. Now, there's a whole bunch of technical things around how we do this, which we'll take you through in a sec. But to get started, I thought we'd just give you a view of some of the new things that have happened in the Office clients across the devices as well. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you very much. So the main question is, and I'll scoot over, really, how easy should deploying and updating apps, how could this be easier? How can we make this easier? How do we make this better from an end user perspective? And from a deployment perspective, as you saw, that 5 PC max across devices, I mean, there's a lot to think about from Office 365 Pro Plus. There was a time when I would do Office demos and all I needed was my laptop and fire up Office, and there I go. Hey, here's all the cool new features of Office. It's become very different now, and as Alistair said, across devices, across how we deploy, it really is something that is pushing towards that end user experience, pushing towards all those edge devices that they are going to carry with them. You know, how many folks today here have 2 devices on their person? 3? 4? Almost? All right, see. My wife stays at home with the kids, and I work, and she works with the kids and does school and all these other things. She carries 3 devices. So, and she's just a mom who works and tries to do some side business, but she's always got a Surface, she's always got an iPhone, she's always got an iPad or a Kindle or something. And that really is today's business and today's lifestyle. So we need to, from an Office perspective, truly move towards that model. And you see here with Office Anywhere and all the banners outside and downstairs that say work here, work here, work here, or beer, obviously. But we're going to go through all of these pieces, and I want to actually go through a bunch of demos for you because it's easier to see than just go through some slides. But from the Office mobile, iPhone, Android phones, we've had a ton of big announcements around Office and the Office Hub across all these devices. So you see exclusive apps, Word, Excel, being able to have documents online, offline, as you carry it from your mobile device. Recent documents readily available, because it's not just about having a document offline, but it's about knowing where you last left off or knowing what you needed to do next within that document. So seeing that across all these devices and being able to interact with Office 365 very quickly and easily. When you think about OWA, what is the email client of the browser, these are also now App Store apps. So from an iPad, from an iPhone, being able to utilize OWA and have offline access, your calendar, your contacts, and have everything within that single app so that even if you did have to wipe a device, you're not wiping out all that mail. It's still residing on the Exchange server. It's coming from the power of OWA, but it's giving you a rich user experience across those devices that you use. One note, and we'll touch on this a little bit more in the demonstration, but we've had a ton of rolling announcements from a OneNote perspective across devices. Being able to have digital note-taking wherever you go, whether you're a student, whether you're business or at home, being able to synchronize across all your devices. So every time you take a note, it then works directly through all your devices. We use this constantly, obviously, from a Microsoft perspective, but coming to Tech Ed here in New Zealand, colleague of ours has a OneNote. We simply synchronize that to all of our accounts. We have all our restaurants, our ratings, the things that we're going to do, our schedules. It makes it very easy, no matter if we're on our mobile device or working from our laptop, to keep notes and keep track of our entire event. The way in, you know, the change of style you see here is this is the handheld version, very long, goes through the narrow pieces, but it gives you the right kind of experience depending on the device that you're using. So use it anywhere, your stuff travels, take pictures, get them in input, team meetings. OneNote is really an exceptional experience across all these devices and part of Office 365 Pro Plus. And for iPad, Android, iPhone, Windows Store, PC and web, I mean, this is a true cross-device play from the Microsoft sense. So moving on, if you can, you know, like your themes and colors and everything else going, OneNote's got it all. And you'll see it later on in a couple of our sessions, we'll be doing kind of a OneNote-inspired session, even though it's for Exchange e-discovery and online protection. We've kind of worked out how to do that through OneNote, and you'll see a little bit of a demo during that too. SharePoint Newsfeed app for Windows 8, and this is the ability to really keep up with conversations within your SharePoint newsfeeds, within your SharePoint team sites, and do it from a modern experience application on Windows. And you know, we have a lot of screenshots, and we'll do some demos from all these different devices, but again, Windows is core to the experience. Modern apps, whether it's OneNote, whether it's SharePoint newsfeeds, whether it's the full modern experiences with Office, really comes alive from a Windows perspective, Surface, tablets, and we want to always make sure and be first and best and really put a great foot forward when it comes to those modern apps and interaction capabilities. Coming soon is SharePoint or Power BI for Office 365. And if you have seen Geoflow, or if you've seen some of the latest power mapping, and those were some of the code names, Power BI for Office 365 is coming. And it will not only have the back end from a SharePoint perspective of being able to create BI sites, being able to have Excel and information uploaded into SharePoint, but also that modern experience across devices to allow you to get to your data very quickly and easily as an Office 365 customer. So Power BI is something you can check out now, and it's in preview, and it will roll into the product as we continue forward this year. So it's just another piece to line out that not only are we lighting up services on the back end with SharePoint, but we are then really giving those modern experiences on the user side so that you can connect to that data, see it, and then have a great UI to work from. So we're going to do a bunch of demos right now, and we'll switch through. And if you've ever seen a bunch of Microsoft demos, it's probably a little different when it starts out like this. Let's see. There we go. Hopefully that'll stay. So this is my iPad, and you see down along the bottom, these are all Microsoft Office 365 applications that I'm able to work from. So I have OWA, SkyDrive Pro, Link, Yammer, OneNote, and then obviously through the web browser. And we're just going to walk through a couple of scenarios that if I was working from my iPad, how I would interact with Office 365. And keep in mind, when you think of Office 365 Pro Plus, and E3 as that SKU, all of these pieces are part of that. So as an end user, E3 enables across all your devices the ability to have SkyDrive Pro, to have Link, to have the Yammer integration, OneNote, and Owa. So any user can download these from the App Store of their various device and be able to work through. So from an Owa perspective, brought it up, this is offline online access. I am myself as Michael Atala in all of these demos. And so what you'll see from Michael's perspective is all the emails, all the read, non-read, everything very easy to see and view. And this is, again, online and offline within my device. So as I move through, very easy, all of the actual Exchange apps that come through, like you see LinkedIn there, and you see some maps and project updates where it has suggested meetings and action items. All of these are built from the Exchange side so that even as a user, no matter what device I'm using it on, and we're struggling a little bit with the internet here today, but it found an action item, and I'm able to move that action item directly into my actions folder, take action, and move forward. If I was on Windows, same experience. Through a browser, same experience. So that Owa experience across all devices, giving you the capabilities you need at the at your fingertips. And also having my full folders, all of my email that I might move around as a filer who puts email information into folders, I have all of those available to me as I move through. Not only that, but being able to go through the calendar, being able to have a very quick and easy view of everything that's going on, whether it's month-to-month view, day-to-day view, everything within that Outlook Web Access experience. Back to my people and contacts, that full rich experience. This is coming from the Exchange server. Everything that synchronizes down to my device is coming from Exchange. I can see all of my contacts, my organization, my gal, everything directly from the mobile client here. So moving forward from an email experience into my documents, SkyDrive Pro, available for iOS, allows me to have my documents from SkyDrive Pro offline and online access. So I can move into my documents, see what's shared with everyone, maybe open up the Northwind proposal, and the internet should hopefully bring it down to me. But being able to view and go through all of my documents quickly and easily directly from my device. So if I want to work through some meeting notes, if I want to work through some documents, I can do that directly from the device through SkyDrive Pro. And you'll see how this matches across all the various devices that I'll use. Link is our communications platform, being able to IM, being able to have those conversations and move through. And I'm not going to get too into depth because I know there was a full Link session that you should probably review, or there might be one later on today. Yammer is our social enterprise piece from an Office 365 perspective, being able to get in touch and work with people on your team. And Yammer has an iPad iOS application that gives you all of the information you need very quickly, allows you to post to your groups, allows you to track and follow others, like some of their comments and suggestions, and you can do that directly through the iPad app. So no matter how you are working with Office 365 and Office 365 Pro Plus, we can follow along through your workday. And the last piece I wanted to show was actually web apps directly from the Safari browser. We support editing, and we support being able to work with those web apps. So if you have a file stored on SharePoint Online, you can immediately access that file. And you see here, I'm actually working on a PowerPoint, and it will need to refresh because I've been offline a little bit. But you see some of the core scenarios of, here I'll go back to this Word one, of our ribbon in the very top. Very easy to use, touch friendly on the device, and able to move through your edits directly online. So as soon as you make those edits and changes, your team will notice, they'll see those changes, and you can move forward. So trying to give that very rich experience, no matter if you're using Owa, if you're using Office through web apps, through the browser, being able to make it sure that you can work day to day wherever you are on the device. So that's kind of a tour through the iOS iPad perspective. And what I wanted to do now is show from a landscape side to a more portrait mode. Hopefully this will come up quick. There we go. I am in the Office Hub for iOS on my iPhone. So iPhone right here. I have all of the same exact files coming from SkyDrive Pro. I can look at the same presentations, download, open them, see all my notes, quickly go through all of the various slides, make my edits and changes. I'm going to open the current document, be able to see all of the slides available to me so that I can present, edit, and have a rich experience even on a phone. And obviously, from a creation perspective, this might not be the best scenario of creating PowerPoints on your phone, but in a quick jam or when you're working with a team and you want to make some updates, very easy to do and a very rich experience to be able to see all of the notes and what your team might be working on. As we headed into Tech Ed, obviously we're making a ton of deck changes all the way up to the final minute, and it's very nice across all the devices, Windows, phone, iOS, that we can always have those updates as a team. So back from that, you obviously have Word, the ability to look at your Excel, and I'll just go quickly into the R&D and engineering Excel, show you the data points that, as it brings down, and have a quick and easy view that I can actually see some of the data changes, make changes into Excel, and understand some of the data I'm looking at, even though I'm on a device and I might be totally remote from my office. So we're working across through the devices. iOS has the Office Hub, Android has the Office Hub, and of course, built into every Windows phone is the Office Hub. So you can work with your documents, work with SharePoint online directly, and have all your SkyDrive Pro information at your fingertips. So I wanted to continue all the way down to my desktop. And I apologize, we have about 50 devices up here, so I'm going to plug in and hope that it comes online. Our beautiful city of Seattle, plenty of water and clouds. And what I wanted to show you from the perspective of Windows, and I'm just going to refresh these as I've been doing my demos, they need to be refreshed. These are online versions of Office. And as I refresh through these, I wanted to show you that up in the top, very top where you can barely see, it says Office Excel web app. So I'm working directly in the web here. And a lot of times our customers ask, well, what can we do in the web different than on regular Office? You can do plenty in the web. I have all of my slicers and pivot data, and I can grab some of that data if I wanted to look at doing some visualizations, maybe get it into a pie chart, and I can immediately have this directly through the web, no Office installed, where Excel is able to help me be productive, work through all my pivot data, my charts, and add all to my spreadsheets so that I can actually do work in the web, very rich. You see there I have my entire kind of what we allow within the web, wrap text, merge and center, all of the real core pieces that we would do online with someone who wants to edit a document. And you notice there's no save button. So this is saving directly to SharePoint Online. There will always be updates to this available for my team. I can keep version control so that I can always go back to it. But this is live through the browser and working directly online. I wanted to also show some of the PowerPoint features. When you think of creating and editing a PowerPoint directly through the browser, we pull no punches. We have animations, we have transitions, the ability to have some of those great layouts, move through up here, fade in, fly out, all the reorder of animation, even working with some of the design templates to be able to have a really great looking PowerPoint directly through the browser. So all of the things I've been showing you from devices to now, I mean, this is all browser based, but it's part of Office 365 Pro Plus, and this is what comes along with that as an experience. One more thing I wanted to show, again, from a Word perspective, you see here I'm editing a Word document. I have it in full screen mode so that it's full screen and I'm not getting the browser Chrome around it. But as I move out of full screen, you'll see I'm simply in Internet Explorer, Chrome, Firefox, all first class citizens that I can edit and share and work through all of my documents. So from that, this is kind of the pre-Pro Plus conversation, because we're going to get into deployment and the rich client and click to run and how all these things can help change from a deployment in IT Pro. But I wanted to show the other side, because users expect this kind of interaction. They expect these kind of apps from a productivity software suite. They want to have their devices. They want to be in control of data. But from an IT side, we also want to help you control, whether it's coming from SkyDrive Pro, SharePoint, controlled access, you know, all of the identity solutions. You can choose how granular you really lock down your environment. But if you want to allow your users the flexibility to have devices and work through these scenarios, they're all here for you. And it's all part of Office 365 Pro Plus. So we're going to get away from the browser and devices and some of those experiences and into the core experience from an Office 365 Pro Plus. So we will move over.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yep.
So it's a lot of interesting stuff, and all of that stuff happened since February. You know, when we launched Office, you know, none of the stuff we showed you there was available yet. And so the speed of which all these updates are coming out are faster and faster. You know, when user expectations are that they can click a URL and see the document straight away, or they can just go to an app store and download and install the app in minutes. If you think about the old way of installing Office, sometimes it could take you 45 minutes just to install and package and restart and patch. You'd restart, there'd be another 500 meg of patches to come down, all those sorts of things. So it was a very antiquated way of doing it. You know, the great thing about Office is that there's 30 years of engineering investment in making those products full-featured, rich fidelity, rich capabilities. But no one wants to wait 45 minutes just to do that, to restart every week when, or every month when new patches come out and those sorts of things. So Office 365 Pro Plus for the Windows client also represents a lot of effort for us to simplify that approach, to make it just as easy as clicking a website or going to an app store and installing very easily there as well. So first thing to think about, in Office Pro Plus, in Office 365 Pro Plus, we call this a click-to-run package. And what a click-to-run package is, if you're familiar with AppV, it's a customized version of AppV built into the Office package itself. It doesn't require you to have an AppV server or any virtualization infrastructure. It just requires you to be able to install this installer, and we've kind of got a self-contained AppV virtualization engine inside the Office installer now. We still have the old MSI package as well. The old MSI package is available. It's called Office 2013. Some of you may have seen that. But Click to Run is the package that we're moving to in the future. It's already available through Office 365. When you buy a copy of Home Premium or Office 2013 in the store, the retail copy, you open up that box, you'll find not a CD, but a URL, a little card saying, thank you for purchasing, go to this website, and I'll actually download you a click-to-run package instead of a traditional MSI package. So for the consumer world, we've already moved all copies of Office over to this new click-to-run package. For businesses, you still have the choice whether you buy the traditional MSI through volume licensing or you buy the click-to-run package through an Office 365 subscription. It's your choice. But over time, they expect the click-to-run package to win out over the other ones, but we're not forcing you to make that decision. So the difference, click-to-run is an app streaming installation. So we stream down the package. You can start using it while the streaming is still going on in the background. And once it's fully streamed down, it's cached there on the PC. So it doesn't stream every time you open up Office or anything like that, but it does stream that initial install. So you can get up and running in a couple of minutes without having to wait for everything to come across. MSI is a classic installation approach. And it's not even MSI, it's a whole series of MSIs. And I'm sure you've all seen that dialog box and waiting and waiting and waiting for it to start and then applying the patches and those sorts of things as well. One of the great things about Click to Run as well is that it's actually a slipstreamed servicing model. So rather than patches, essentially what we just do is update the stream. And so if you're downloaded, you've streamed down, every day Office will check for at a particular location to see if there's any updates, and it will patch itself without the user knowing, without the user having to restart or anything like that, no PC restarts. It just does a binary differential and just adds down the different files that it needs, and it automatically brings itself up to the next patch level. And we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. MSI, obviously, it's a layered servicing model. So we have to ship another MSI. We build and install another MSI, and you have to install that. And that MSI is pretty much a whole new install. It goes through, updates DLLs, puts things down. You have to shut down everything, restart Windows, and off you go again. So it's a much more intrusive, let's say, servicing model. Click to Run is user-based licensing. So you can run it on any device, it doesn't matter. It's all about the user. So the user is the person that when they log into the PC, it's bound to that user account rather than the device itself. That's a little bit of kind of licensing terminology, but that's the most important thing to kind of realize is that if you have more users than PCs, then maybe you want to stick with the old model. If you have more PCs or devices than users, you probably want to move to the new model just in terms of cost saving. MSI, again, only available through the volume licensing systems. Now, Click to Run is activated online, so it's activated against your Office 365 tenant. So you're maintaining all those users in your Office 365 tenant. You're allowing, disallowing them to log into different devices, allowing them to install Office or not. That's a really important thing once we start to look at all these devices, these unmanaged devices like iPads, iPhones, Android devices, even Windows phones, Surface RTs, all those other devices that may or may not be joined to the domain. Because traditionally, with MSI, you had volume activation, you needed to be joined to the domain, you'd hit your KMS server, or you'd hit your MAC key, you'd push out group policies. But now when we have so many devices that just don't support group policies, we need a newer way of doing it, and that's where the Office 365 activation service comes in. It allows you to control that outside of your firewall and enable or disable users to be able to install and activate themselves wherever they are. So Click to Run, and this is a little bit confusing, but essentially Click to Run is one streaming package. So one of the limitations is that you can't just install Access, or you can't just install Outlook, you get everything. So the whole streaming package is just going to stream down a big chunk, and it's going to sit on your hard drive. And from there, you can choose to enable group policies to show and hide different apps. But essentially, everything is being downloaded at once. Whereas in MSI, one of the benefits of the kind of multiple MSI approach is that you could choose and customize the sorts of apps you wanted as well. Of course, there's a downside when you're doing selective app installation, because every time you patch, it's going to patch as if it was the full Office client, and oftentimes, I'm sure many of you have seen issues where you've disabled Excel or disabled Access, more common, then you apply a patch, and all of a sudden Access pops up and fully installed and those sorts of things. So that's one of the differences as well. The other benefit, though, it means that with Click to Run, all apps are there. So if you do decide to hide Access from your users with group policy or something like that, and some user says they need it, then it's just a group policy change to turn that app on. You don't have to go and reinstall the complete Office suite just to enable that particular feature. So what both of them share, though, is they both require Windows 7 or above. The reason that the new Office requires Windows 7 is we've made a lot of investments around the graphics layer to make animations look smoother, a little bit more graphically intensive, and so we're using some of the frameworks built into Windows 7 or newer. The Windows integration is the same. So Click to Run, MSI, you both can click. Even though it's a virtualized package, you can still click an app from the File Explorer and open it up. It still registers itself in the start menu or the start screen. The app-to-app integration is the same. So if you have a CRM system, an ERP system, an iTunes plugin, you can still run all those plugins and add-ins in the Click to Run version or the MSI version. This is a bit of a breakthrough because we didn't have this in the old way of doing app v packaging. It was a completely isolated app. And what we found that when we were running that old way of doing app v with Office, there's just so many different apps that want to talk to Office. Either they want to open up a document, they want to put a plugin in, or they just want to kind of instantiate Office to access the spreadsheet engine or something like that. With the MSI way, we do support that app-to-app integration, so there's no difference between the MSI and the Click to Run package in terms of all the other apps that may want to integrate with Office. Both of them support group policy. So even though it's a virtualized package, you can still manage it. You can still use the exact same group policies you use. Even going back to Office 2003, there's only a handful of group policies that we've actually removed. So all those group policies are still there. You can still control them, irrespective of whether it's Click to Run or MSI. You can still run add-ins, like I mentioned before. You can still do automated deployments, and both of them, of course, support offline use as well. You don't have to be online the whole time just to use Click to Run. They both support a new feature called telemetry as well. And what telemetry allows you to do is to get proactive data from your users' PCs on the sorts of things they use when crashes happen, when add-ins are taking too long to load, and when other issues occur. So you can actually have a database set up of all those issues that occur in Office, all the usage patterns that your users have, and you can use that telemetry data to plan how you'll upgrade, to plan who's using macros, who's using add-ins, who's having a lot of issues. And the great thing about this is that you can start to solve issues before the help desk phone rings. By looking at this, seeing that certain users are having more problems than others, you can fix this in advance. And of course, both of them, sign in is optional, right? So there's this notion in Office of signing in. You can sign in, have a personalized Office experience. And that's great for when you want to have your recent documents, your SkyDrive account, your SharePoint accounts roam between the PCs that you use. But of course, you can disable that. And they can use on-prem cloud storage. It's not purely cloud. If you're looking at Click to Run, you can still use your normal SharePoint sites or your normal file shares, et cetera, et cetera. So just to jump across and show you what that looks like, this is my production Microsoft Office 365 tenant. And you can see here that the Microsoft's IT department has provisioned me Office 365. What I can do as an end user here is log into this portal, just portal.microsoftonline.com, and I can see all the software that I have installed. You can see here it's a list of all the PCs that I've already installed Office on. You can see I have a couple of PCs. I've got my desktop back in the office. I have my Surface Pro. I have my MacBook all set up there, and it's telling me how many servers I have or how many installs I have left to be able to enable. I have two more that I can actually install on. I can, of course, at a click, just deactivate these PCs. If I've got a new PC or a new device or I want to free one up, I can self-service and self-manage that myself here as well. I can even self-install, so I can go down here and just choose the build that I want to install. And of course, I can install Project, Visio, phone and tablet apps, all from this interface as well. So now we have this notion of a self-service portal just inside Office 365. Is that scary for anyone? No one? Yeah. But generally, when we're looking at Office, we're looking at a managed install, right? If it's your PCs joined to the domain that you control, you don't necessarily want users to install willy-nilly the apps they want at any given time. And so instead, what we do is we do a managed deployment with Click to Run. And this is fairly straightforward, very similar to how you'd do it in an MSI install. Firstly, you have your Office 365 service, and you're creating the users that you want to give Office to in that Office 365 tenant. What you can do there is with a tool called the Office Deployment Tool, you can actually download those bits from Office 365 and just cache them locally somewhere on a network installation point, system center, file share, even a USB key if you want to do it that way, and download the bits. And then you just push it out as if it was a normal package to all of your users there. The difference, a couple of differences here is that the way you customize it is a little bit different, and then your add-ins will just appear and install later on as well. So very similar to the way that you do a traditional deployment. A couple of things different here. Rather than downloading the bits from the Volume Licensing Service Center, and I remember before I joined Microsoft and I had to do deployments, you know, the first challenge was to find that person that knew what the login was to the Volume License Service Center to get the information so you could download the bits. Then you could package it up and use your SCOM or System Center tools to deploy it out that way as well. We used to use group policy, configuration XML, an Office customization tool to do an MSI deployment. So we had all these tools at our disposal. We had the config XML that would control how the setup would work. We had the customization tool to set those initial values. And then we had group policies to actually enforce those values as well. So traditionally what you would do in an MSI-based version of Office was that you would customize something once in the customization tool, then you'd do it again in GPO. You're actually duplicating work. And that's just a historical quirk, if you like. You know, before GPOs were as widely used, we still had this Office customization tool approach so that you could customize even to non-domain joined machines if you wanted to as well. Essentially, what we're doing now is we're streamlining that option. So essentially, now you just have the group policy and a configuration XML file. We've expanded that configuration XML file a little bit as well, so there's a few more options there. of what you would typically be used to in the 2013 or the MSI version, but it's relatively the same thing. So the Office Deployment Tool, something I talked about earlier, and I'll take you through this and show you just how this works as well. It's a free download from the Microsoft Download Center. Very easy to download as well. It downloads the whole package. It helps you customize the click-to-run package for distribution yourself. And it also helps you enforce the software update policies as well. So let's jump across now and kind of show you what that tool looks like. Great. Okay, so we have a link here to download the file, but we're not going to use that. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to go across to the Microsoft Download Center. I'm going to grab this tool called the Office Deployment Tool for Click to Run. It's a really simple tool. I'd encourage all of you to grab this tool. It's very powerful. We have a whole lot of guidance on TechNet about how to use it, how to customize it, all the things you can do. But it's one of the probably most trivial demos you'll see today, but very important as well. So let me jump into this. Excuse my awesome background. So once you extract this, you essentially get two things. You get a setup.exe file, and you get a config XML. So this is all you need to start with the ODT package as well. And now what I will do, I'll jump in here. I'll just run that setup just to show you what it looks like here. You've got a couple of different options of what you can do from this setup tool. It's a really simple tool. You set up /download, configure, and package are your three options. Download is essentially to kick off that download, pulling it down from the content delivery network to have a local copy of the Office installation files. The configure is essentially the install approach. You know, we kind of stopped calling it install because it's not really install. The stuff is already there. You're just configuring it. You're wiring it up into the interface of Windows and those sorts of things. And then the packager command is for those kind of advanced users that are using AppV, and you want to take the click-to-run package and repackage it and stream it out using your AppV infrastructure. So even though you don't require AppV, if you do have AppV, you can get some advantages of taking the click-to-run package and packaging it out. AppV server has some features around dynamically streaming, quality of service, and making it a much smoother install process as you go forward. So what I'm going to do is just run setup/download. And by default, it's just going to grab my configuration XML file that I have in here. Let's just... And it'll kick off... Bad network. Limited. Okay. What you can see here is a failed demo, but I'll just point out a couple of things. The first thing it tries to do is connect to http://officecdn.microsoft.com, and it's pulling down a GUID, and it's pulling down a particular file as well. So that's essentially all this tool does. It's really simple. We've built it like this so that you can just pull down those bits, you can script it up, and you can just run it as a scheduled task. It can run in the background, pulling down those apps. Once a month, we actually publish a new CDN version, a new version to the CDN, our content delivery network. Our content delivery network is essentially part of our infrastructure, our Office 365 infrastructure. It gets replicated around the world. There's about 500 different locations where the files are stored. So it's not downloading direct from our data center. It's downloading from one of our edge nodes around the world as well. But what happens if we jump back here? It creates an Office file, a data file, and nothing else because it failed. But essentially, what it does here is it creates an Office file and a data file and starts to download. Now, if this worked, what you would see under here is a new version number created. It would say something like 15.15723. blah, blah, blah. That's essentially your Office version number for that particular month. So it would be this month's version. Inside of that package would be all of the updates for that particular version. It would be patched up to today's date. So it would have all the patches required. And so it's that package that you install. You don't worry about installing patches after the fact. It's just downloading the whole package. So essentially, running this tool as a scheduled task, you'll pull down a new package every month. So a new, about 800 megs to a gig package every month that will just sit on your network share or something like that as well. Once you've done that, then you're essentially building your software library here of all the different versions of Office that have come out. You don't have the master Office version and then all the patches. You can essentially think of it like slipstreaming. They're all slipstreamed together as they used to as well. Now let me just try resetting this network. All right, that says it's connected. Let's see if we can break it by downloading 800 megs. Here we go, success. So you can see, and it's pulling down all these files. They're each about 50 meg in size, and each of them is essentially a chunk of that appv image here. So if I jump back here, there you go, success. You can see 15.0.4517.1509. So that's this month's version that's downloading there. This much, there's essentially the build number of that particular version of Office as well. So while that's going in the background, and that'll take a while and probably fail eventually, but let's open up the file itself. Yeah, it's a bit bigger. This is the config.xml file. It's really straightforward, really simple what you do. This is where you control all the things that that script will essentially run. So a couple of things there. You can see here, I'm setting in the configuration file here, I'm setting the product ID that I want, Office 365 Pro Plus Retail, essentially the SKU name there, and the language that I want as well. And then you can see I'm also asking for Visio Pro Retail here as well. So essentially this is telling the setup tool to download Office 365 Pro Plus and Visio and put them into my cache here as well. You can see here I've got some optional attributes that I can add in here. You can see the source path. So I can add a source path there. So rather than saving to my local PC, I can push it onto a network share or something like that. And you can see I can even ask for the 32-bit version, which is our recommended version. Or if I wanted to, I could ask for the 64-bit version as well. Once I've done that, once I've downloaded that, I'll essentially push out that setup.exe file, backslash configure. And backslash configure will run some of those other commands as well. So if I uncommented these ones, I could enable updates, and we'll talk about that in a sec. I could tell it where to look for updates, so it doesn't necessarily need to look back to a Microsoft server to find that. It could look on my local network to find the updates itself. And then I can set some things like logging information. I can change the notifications so that it was seamless to the end user. Or I can prompt them for the end user license agreement for them to click accept and prompt them for all that other startup experience as well. And I can even prompt them to auto-activate or prompt them to activate it manually as well. How are we going there? Nope, failed that. Hey, I got one down, so that's a pretty good result. Conference Wi-Fi. So I put these into the slides just kind of as a reference, but these are all documented on TechNet, but this is essentially all the things that you can do. Now, this is the download one, so I'm just asking for the apps and downloading them. If I wanted to, I can even specify a version number here. So if I wanted to download April's version rather than the current version, I would just have to know the build number that I wanted here, and all that is published on our support site as well, and it'll kick off and download that version. To install, I'm essentially running the slash configure, and I'll set up another XML file, an install XML file, again, telling it which products I want to install, whether updates are enabled, whether I'm going to prompt the user to tell them that an install is going on, and whether I want to do logging as well. So it's this setup.exe file with this XML file, just those two things that are what you'll push out to kick off a remote installation as well. You just kick off that install. You can do it by GP script or something like that. You can push it off, it'll run, and essentially we've set here that, yep, we'll add the source path there, and it's that source path on the network that I'll go and download the bits from as well. If you want to use it with System Center or something like that, I'll show you that in just a sec. These are some other controls you can do if you want to do like a force shutdown. So you can push out a force shutdown if you do really want to make sure that the user shuts down their PC. You can enable that as well. There's no real need to do that. The only time you might want to do that is when you're installing other apps at the same time, and you want to make sure that Office restarts, and then you have a restart action. They'll install some other apps or something like that. The other one here is this forced downgrade as well. So traditionally, when we deploy a patch, you've deployed a patch, you've patched it up, and you have a great experience. Every now and then, there's something that we introduce into the system, which we call a regression. And a regression is a nice way to say bug. So there's something broken in a patch that was supposed to fix one bug. It's introduced another bug. And maybe you didn't see that first bug. Maybe it wasn't really as important to you. It only affected SAP users in Germany or something like that, or it was due to a particular time zone or daylight savings time change or something like that. But if you do have this regression, you want to roll back that patch as fast as possible. Traditionally, rolling back a patch was really hard to do. You don't install Office, reinstall it again. What you can do with this AppV approach is just run this forced downgrade and just push that downgrade back to an earlier build. Right? So it doesn't uninstall Office. It just the same way it patches, by doing that differential sync and pulling over and patching in the background, it can unpatch itself in the background as well to any earlier version if you desire. Of course, we don't make that many mistakes, so you may never need to run that feature. A couple of other things here that I want to put in the slide for your reference as well. These are some registry keys if you want to do automated installation. You can actually push these out via GPO as well to override the first run experience. We have this great little video that runs the first time you run. The first time you see it, it's great. Second time you see it, not so great. Third time, fifth time. And all that is doing is actually just magic. What we're doing is we're running this video to kind of distract the user while we're streaming down the bits in the background to make Office look nice and fast. And so if you're doing a headless install or something like that, maybe you don't want to show the video, and so you can hide it there very easily as well. Okay, so I'm going to show you a demo now of how we would deploy Office 365 Pro Plus through software distribution. So I'm going to use Windows Intune to show you this. If you're a System Center fan, you'd probably be able to work it out from here about the sort of things you can do. This one I prepared. So essentially here, this is our System Center platform here. I'm going to go into the software, and I'm going to add some software to install here as well. So I'm going to take Office 365 Pro Plus, and using Windows Intune, I'll actually push out this app itself. So for those that haven't used Intune, this is the Intune experience here. We're loading up the software that we're going to push out. We essentially set some variables here about, you know, what the name of the software is, what it wants to look like in our internal app store when we publish that to our users. I'm going to set some requirements here as well. Obviously, the requirement is Windows 7 or above, so we'll set that. We can try and detect if Office is already installed. The easiest way to do that is just look for one of the EXEs, so we're just looking for WinWord here. And then we're going to set the command that we're going to use to run. So configure, and then the link to our configuration XML. We're going to, of course, make sure that Windows Intune knows whether the software was successful or not. And then that's essentially all we need to do now is to package up and install Office. So now what Windows Intune is going to do, rather than push out a full 800 meg package, it's just going to push out that little package to all these users. I'm going to use the all users OU to push out updates, because we know that that's always the right way to do it. And then we're going to make that as an available install. So now anyone running Windows Intune, we'll see this as a prompt, as a toast, to say, hey, new software is available for you to install. Obviously, I can force this out and push it out. But the key thing here is the size is just 460K. That's just the setup file and the XML file that we're pushing out, because then in that XML file, we're going to tell it the network location to pull it down from. Now I'm at my client PC here. This is the Intune App Store. It's just a website that people can use. You can see all the other applications that I've pushed out. With one click, I can click this. I can see all the PCs that I have Intune installed on. I can say, yep, I'll install this. And in one click, installing there, I'll push it out. And what you'll see in a sec is the toast as the Intune agent gets that request and starts installing Office in the background. Pulling down that 400K file. And it's kicking off the install. from the network share, or even from the cloud if you want to push your users directly to Office 365 to pull down the bits. And you can see Office is now installing. And even before I've finished installing, I can start running the applications and bring them up and going as well. So you can see here, Office only thinks it's up to 11%. An interesting thing with Intune is that it prompts at where it is in its stage, not necessarily where the software is at its install. So you do see those two values there. And of course, you can hide all of that if you wanted to. But here we are, we're up and running in Excel, opening Excel. And if we're quick, we'll be able to see that some of those features and boxes will be grayed out, and then they get colored in as the rest of the software installs. So we don't install all of Excel at a time. We may install just the core bit of Excel, the rendering engine, the first most commonly used commands, and then we'll fill out the rest as the rest of the package downloads as well. And so generally you'll get a prompt saying that it's not fully installed yet. So that's really how you do it in System Center or Intune or something like that, where you want to run, you know, you don't want to send all your users just to an Office 365 portal. You want to have a little bit more control over how it's installed. You can use something like System Center or Intune there to publish it, make it available in your internal app store, or you can just push it out headless using the same tools as well and hide it from the users as well. So a couple of approaches to updating options as we go forward as well. The default option, so if you set nothing in that setup.exe, the XML file, when setup.exe runs, basically Office, the client on the PC, is going to check every day against the content delivery network to see if there's a newer build. If there's a newer build, it's going to start a binary differential sync of that file. And so far, we've been doing this for about 6 months now, since we shipped in February, a new patch every month. And generally, that equates to about 20 to 50 megs, depending on how many patches are in that particular version as well. So even though the new package itself will be a full install of Office, Office is smart enough not to download the full package. It just picks and chooses the bits it needs to bring itself up to that new patch level as well. And this runs once a day, runs in the background. It's invisible to the user, and it's essentially invisible to the IT department as well. That'll just run for you and keep all your users up to date and patched. Now, that would be great if we all could just trust Microsoft to do the right patches every day and not have to worry about it. But of course, we don't. So instead, what we're going to do is a couple of things. We're going to set a server, a local server on our network share, and we're going to tell Office to check that network share, not the cloud, for the latest updates. And so what you can do then is you can either run that download tool to just build up that software inventory on your network share, or you can just download them and put them in another inventory, test it a little bit further, you know, run it yourself. Perhaps the IT guys run it for a month, and then you give the users last month's version once you've run, you know, a little bit of testing or something like that as well. And then to force Office to update itself, you just need to copy that latest build number into the file share that everyone's checking, and then it will patch itself and bring itself up to speed. If you really don't trust your IT department either, what you can do is you can essentially just turn off those automated updates, tell it never to check the automated updates, and so that every time that you want to actually patch, you would go into System Center and you would run setup.exe /configure again, and Office, once you got that command, it would see that Office is already installed, and it would check back, and it would install the latest version, or you could force a particular version number there as well. So these are your three options, a lot more options than what you're used to in the traditional MSI approach, and much better options as well. I mean, it's 2013. If we're still really that concerned with patches and we still want to take months or 2 months to test and just wean and make sure every single patch, every single hotfix is right, we just can't keep up these days. We have far more important things to worry about. We're trying to work out how to secure iPads, iPhones, perimeter networks, you know, bring your own PCs and those sorts of things. Patches are kind of the least of our worries now in most cases. And so these options give you a lot more flexibility to start to push that out. So that's really Office 365 Pro Plus. A couple of benefits, just to recap. You know, it is all of Office. It's the full version of Office, just connected to Office 365. One thing we didn't cover, but the AppV package, because it's a virtualized package, you can install that side by side with older versions as well. So if you're on Office 2003, Office 2007, 2010, you can install Office side by side. Because it's a virtualized package, you don't get any of those weird overruns and patching issues that you might have had in the past. It's 5 installs per user on PCs and Macs. If you enable it, we can roam those personalized settings across those devices so you can see your most recently used documents, you can see your custom dictionary, you can see your customized ribbons, roam across all those apps as well. We can support automated software distribution, we can support managed background updates, and of course we still support group policy and telemetry support as well. You know, just a quick plug as well for our end user adoption work. Deploying is only half the battle, then you have to convince users to use it or stop them calling you. And so we've started to work on a lot more assets that help you train your users and help your users train themselves. How-to guides, step-by-step videos, promotional materials, use case catalog. And we've got a lot of this stuff. It's kind of hidden on websites. We're trying to bring it all together for a pack that you guys can take to your users or just leave on the desk at work or something like that and hand those out to users to stop them bugging you with all their questions about where this feature went and those sorts of things as well. And for deployment, you know, we have a program called FastTrack, fasttrack.office.com, which is our recommended deployment methodology. This approach you can find on fasttrack.office.com, and it also includes Office 365 Pro Plus, so our guidance about how to go about piloting, deploying, and then extending your environment are all documented there as well. So with that, I'll invite Jeff back up. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll open up some questions and give away some prizes. So thank you. Cheers. Yeah. All right, question at the back. Yes, so the Office 365 Pro Plus version doesn't support KMS. It only supports that online activation. So if you want to use KMS, you'll use the traditional MSI client for that. Oops, sorry. Yeah. Oh. And it's, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the great thing about Office 365 is you can just assign and revoke those user license as you go as well. So a really simple approach to do that. So if someone leaves the organization or a user comes in, you just take the license away and then you assign it to someone else. So you can just have a pool of licenses and then you assign and revoke. No, from the Office 365 portal. Yeah. So the Office 365 portal, let me just log into it, actually. I'm logging into the Microsoft one. Are you still got the Atala tenant? So essentially, you control access to this portal through the admin portal here. So you can say, these users have access, these users don't. You can hook that up to your Active Directory to directory sync those users in to the Office 365 portal. And then you can assign and revoke their access to all the services that you want, whether it's Office, SharePoint, Exchange, everything, and so on and so on. So let's just, bring
see
that up.
We can quickly get just in
quickly,
there.
Yeah. Oh, wait, another question, yeah. Yes. It is getting more complete. We're working on adding new stuff every month to that kit. My colleague Marissa is on the hub show floor. She's been driving it, and she can give you some of the early guidance on that. But we're targeting like the full stuff being ready around November, December, for all the different products. And we still have all the guidance for Link and those sorts of things on office.com, but we're just trying to bring it together in some easier to consume guides rather than sending you to 1,000 different web pages. So that's the stuff that's there. Yeah. Question over here. Mm-hmm. So if you've configured Office to install from the cloud and you want to change it to the local share, essentially what you would do is you'd push out the setup.exe again with an updated XML file, and you'd run that, and it would reconfigure Office. It wouldn't install. It would realize that it's already got all the bits it needs, and it would just start looking for that other share instead. Yeah. Good question. Mm-hmm. Are we sending the end of WSUS? Yes. In the context of click to run, you know, in the context of Office, yeah, this model replaces WSOS. Yeah, that's right. So, and this model is a lot more flexible. You know, you can use just any server. It doesn't even need to be a Windows server. It just needs to be a file share. And you just need access to the bits, and then the client can do the rest. So it's a little bit more flexible than having to set up a dedicated server. Yeah.
And for that question on licensing, you manage through everybody from the online portal, from Microsoft Office 365 admin portal. And so what you see here is all of my users, and I've zoomed in on them. And I can quickly edit those users, take away their license, or add another license. So if this person left the organization, I now can remove their licenses, and they have no access across all devices. It cuts off their access. So this comes in from your Active Directory. You then would manage through those licenses directly through the portal. And then I could add these licenses, and as it says, I have 0 out of 25, but as soon as I pull these licenses out, I'll have 1 out of 25 left. Yeah. Are you sure? Yeah, of course I'm sure. And then I would be able to use that license for another user immediately.
This is a great way as well if you just want a couple of project licenses, Visio licenses, doing it this way as well. It's much easier to remember which ones to assign and revoke. You know, I've seen many customers trying to work out how many copies of project they actually use and those sorts of things, and you have your Microsoft account rep bashing down the door saying you're not buying enough project, and at least this way you know exactly how much you're using at any given time. Yeah. A question? Yeah, good question. So we were hitting the SharePoint site for the web apps in particular. And so the web apps are really what requires SharePoint Online or SharePoint. Likewise, with the iOS apps, they'll point to either SkyDrive, the consumer version, or SharePoint Today. They won't work with other storage providers yet. The web apps, you can actually open up any document stored on a network share, stored on the web, or anything like that. It's just a query string. So it's just the web app URL, query string, source equals location of your document, and it'll open up and render that. It won't go into edit mode, though. So there's an extra API that if you're building your own CMS system or something like that, you need to implement this API to allow that that save and co-authoring experience as well.
But from a quick answer, all those apps you saw were using SharePoint in the back end. So on iOS, across when you use the Office Hub, it's SkyDrive Pro and SharePoint Online. Yeah, that's where we store the files, store your recent changes, store everything from the Office side. So you can definitely do Office web apps, as Alistair is saying, but everything you saw me run through, it utilizes SharePoint Online on the back side.
Yeah. Okay. Question? Mm-hmm. So it creates a new folder and downloads it again, yes, with the updated build number. And that's, you know, the update mechanism is pretty straightforward. It just looks for the largest number in the folder and assumes that's the real one. So it's pretty easy to do that way. Yeah. Now you're paraphrasing. Sure. So in a system center environment, in this approach, you'll either have Office 365 just take care of its updates itself, pointing in a network share or a distribution point you're managing through system center, or you're turning off the automatic updates and you're just pushing out that latest update by having a scheduled task that runs the setup.exe /configure every time you wanted to push it. Yes, essentially, yeah. To push that out. Or with System Center, there's a number of different ways you can do it as well. So you may want to cache down the full install file in advance. So System Center will run in the background and copy down that network installation cache to the local machine and then install and delete itself. That way you can kind of just, you know, push out those updates, you know, over a couple of weeks or something like that until every machine has the bits installed. And then click go, run the setup.exe file, install it locally. That way, you're not getting that big network pressure back to that one point when you're doing the install. And that's kind of that's much more like your traditional MSI approach in that respect as well. So they're all the good things you can do with System Center in this approach. Yeah. Great. Okay, so one last prize, which is why you're all hanging around for the Arachnid Doom Razor. Would you like to ask a question, Jeff?
I was going
to
ask, out of the chart that Alistair showed, there were a bunch of things that MSI and Click2Run share together. Can you name three of those bullet points that were right down the middle? Three of those bullet points. We have one hand over here.
One.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Very good.
Winner
very good.
Of the...
So, thank you all very much. Yeah, have a great day.